Well, good morning, everybody. The government has repeatedly said since the February earthquake in Christchurch that we stand ready to do whatever is needed to rebuild Christchurch. It is one of our most important priorities. We are focused on helping the residents of Christchurch get through the initial emergency and, of course, the aftermath. And today's announcement is another step in helping Canterbury residents to rebuild their homes and their lives. We are today announcing a financial support package for AMI insurance so that the tens of thousands of homeowners and policyholders in Christchurch can have certainty that their claims will be met. This will help to ensure an orderly rebuild of Christchurch in the aftermath of these two earthquakes. The support package will be called on only as a last resort if AMI's own reserves have been exhausted by the claims that they are liable to meet. The Crown will have the option to take control of the company before that point if it believes it is in the public interest. The support package will provide certainty that homeowners can have their claims met. At the same time, it will give AMI the time and the opportunity to find a market solution to the financial challenges that it faces as a result of the earthquake. If the package is called on, it could involve the government investing up to $500 billion of equity in AMI with the right to take ownership and assume control of the company at any time with the payment of $100 million. AMI is New Zealand's second largest residential insurer with 485,000 policyholders around New Zealand. It has 85,000 policyholders in Christchurch alone, about 35% of the residential insurance market. AMI approached the government on the 9th of March, concerned that it was uncertain whether its reserves and reinsurance might not be sufficient to cover the total value of claims resulting from the Canterbury earthquakes. Since then, officials have been working closely with the company to gather information about a range of issues and to consider the best options for the taxpayer and for AMI's policyholders. AMI is a mutual company, so it is owned by its policyholders. There are no shareholders, there are no depositors, it is owned by the policyholders. It is the government's judgment that a support package was necessary to give certainty to the policyholders. This applies to all AMI policyholders across New Zealand, not just those in Canterbury. So for AMI policyholders across New Zealand, this support package means that business as usual can continue. Because of the uncertainty around the cost of the earthquake damage, it is too early to tell whether AMI will have sufficient resources to cover the cost of the claims. In fact, the full extent of the claims on AMI will remain unclear for several months, both the number of claims and the cost of individual claims. So ministers have decided to act now to provide a backstop for policyholders to give them certainty and so that the rebuilding of Christchurch can continue without the disruption of a major financial issue. We want to make sure that the rebuild is not jeopardised by potential solvency or liquidity issues, and to maintain confidence in AMI and in the insurance sector. AMI has confirmed to the government that it will seek an alternative commercial arrangement to replace the government's support facility as soon as possible. The package we're announcing today gives the company time to achieve that. And I'll just run you through the main features of the support package. You'll have the detail and the background material that's been handed out. But I do want to repeat, the package will be used only as a last resort if the company's own reserves have been exhausted meeting its earthquake claims, with the Crown reserving the right to take control of the company before that time if it's in the public interest. So under the policyholder support package, AMI has paid the Crown $15 million up front as an establishment fee for this support package. The AMI has issued convertible preference shares to the Crown, but the Crown has not yet paid for them. AMI tell us that if payment is required, it may not need to happen for 2 years. Payment will happen only if AMI's own resources are depleted below the level prudent for insurance business, or if the Crown decides it is in the public interest to make the payment. The Crown's $500 million policy support package will provide the company with the platform from which to explore options to get capital from other sources. If the arrangement is called on by AMI and it later becomes clear that AMI can pay all likely claims, then it will exit the support arrangement by repaying the Crown along with any dividends that are owing on the shares. It's important to understand that while the Crown enters these kinds of this kind of arrangement very reluctantly, the alternative to this package could have been a great deal of uncertainty and disruption both in the insurance company, both in the insurance market and in Christchurch. We could have left many thousands of AMI policyholders with their houses destroyed or significantly damaged without insurance cover or the financial resources they need to rebuild. Uncertainty about the financial viability of the company could have led to long delays in processing claims, many claims only being partially met, and AMI's customers having difficulty getting insurance company for insurance cover for future risks. This is an unusual, in fact a unique situation that has required a special response. And considering its options, the government has been acutely aware of the need to protect the interests of taxpayers who are already facing significant costs from the Canterbury earthquake and the finance company collapses. The government believes this package allows us to take every possible step to minimise the cost to taxpayers at the same time as meeting the very real need for certainty for thousands of AMI policyholders in Christchurch. Finally, events like this show the importance of getting the government's finances back into good shape as soon as possible. We remain committed to returning to budget surpluses, and these events do not alter that commitment. Just a final point. There will be the temptation to label this particular package as a bailout of a company. We want to stress there are no shareholders in this company. The only people who will benefit from government support are the policyholders, because the company is completely owned by the policyholders. So there are no depositors, there are no shareholders, no one who does not own a policy with AMI will benefit in the long run from this package. It is intended to provide support for those thousands of people in Christchurch who bought insurance in good faith, who now face the problem of substantial damage or loss to their major, in fact probably only major, personal asset and their life savings. And it is for that reason that the government has seen fit to support this company. Any questions?
How likely would you have to pump this $500 million equity into the company, given what you know behind the scenes about the state of the books within Avon?
Well, there's just, that's uncertain. There's so much uncertainty here about the number of claims and the nature of those claims. There's a range of estimates that we've been provided with from the company and the Reserve Bank, and those estimates are estimates of the excessive claims over the money available to meet them, and those estimates range from zero, that is that the company may be able to meet all the claims, through to about $1 billion more claims than they are able to meet. But there's a great deal of uncertainty about what the actual number is likely to be. We've structured this package in a way that gives the company very strong incentives to successfully trade through to the point where no taxpayer support is necessary.
Why didn't they have cover for this? I mean, they take premiums every year. Are you satisfied that the company has been properly run and that they should not have had sufficient cover in it?
Well, you need to talk to the company about their policies. I mean, we will be appointing a director and advisors to the company. We have the right to attend any meeting of the company. We reserve the right to take control of the company at any time. With respect to the situation in Christchurch, it is pretty unique. There's a combination of circumstances here where the company has a concentration of policyholders in Christchurch compared to other centres in New Zealand. Christchurch has had two major earthquakes in 6 months. The company is a mutual, which means it can't go and raise capital easily. It has to essentially sell itself if it wants to get capital into the company. So all those factors have combined to put them in this situation. Now, at some stage, we will need to go back and have a look and to see whether the management have run the company prudently, whether they've complied with industry standards and the regulation. Up to now, there's no indication that they haven't, but clearly the Crown's getting alongside the board of management here, and in another few months we'll have a much better understanding of how it's run.
Are there any other New Zealand companies that have come to you and said they've got problems, or is it predominantly owned overseas and they wouldn't be eligible for
the help? There's no indications that other companies are in difficulty. The Reserve Bank and the Treasury, of course, are taking a close interest in the insurance sector. And I can confirm we're not in talks with anybody else.
So what's your advice or what level of comfort can you provide to policyholders in AMI whose insurance that they may be coming up quite shortly and they might be thinking from the bail elsewhere?
The government support arrangement means for policyholders it's business as usual. So it is effectively a guarantee that any claims they make will be met.
So will this announcement encourage people to continue to hold insurance with the AMI or discourage them?
Well, look, it'll be up to them. This is a company that has a reasonably strong brand, has attracted almost 500,000 New Zealanders to it. The support package means that their claims will be met.
Can you explain how the $500 million support package and the $100 million that you could pay just to take control of the company, how they work? Is one a subset of the other? And secondly, would it cease to be a mutual if the government exercised its options? Would you just become the 100% shareholder?
The $500 million is essentially uncalled capital, and we would be paying up $100 million of it. We have a choice to elect to pay up $100 million of it at any time, and if we pay that $100 million, we'd take full ownership and control of it.
So if they call for $100 million, then that's the same thing. As soon as they've called out $100 million, you own it?
If they call for $1, then we can effectively take ownership of the company. So that puts a strong incentive on the current board and management that if they want to continue business business as it is now, then they need to find another commercial solution, such as someone else who will put capital into the company.
Oh, sorry, so what's the trigger for you and the government to take over? Is it that first dollar that's called, or when it gets over 100, or is there no such trigger?
The trigger for us is whenever we think it's in the public interest to take control of it.
And the second part of my question was, would it cease to be a mutual at that point? You'd have 100% control.
Well, it'd become a government-owned company. So yeah, it would cease to be a mutual because the policy holders wouldn't then have the opportunity to influence the ownership of it. The effective owner of it is a trustee company, and the policy holders are beneficiaries of the trustee. I wouldn't want to go and get into the technicalities of how the Crown would actually do that. What I can say is that we have the ability at any time to take total control of the company.
What would have been the consequences of doing that?
Well, there's a... you have in the mix here directors who need to be able to say that they're trading while solvent. You know, they can pass a solvency test on any one day. Ratings agencies, who of course are paying quite a bit of attention to the solvency and liquidity of insurance companies at the moment, and of course policy holders. It's our view that uncertainty for any of those parties could have triggered a series of events that would lead to quite a chaotic situation in Christchurch, which would be very damaging for the policy holders themselves, and also make it very difficult to get on with the rebuild of Christchurch if you had significant financial problems with an insurer of a third of the residential area of the city.
How many claims has AMI had in both earthquakes so far, and how many are they expecting as a result? Have you received?
Look, I can't tell you those numbers. They've got 85,000 85,000 policy holders there. I think they are still trying to get an estimate of how many claims they would receive. You'd be best to direct that inquiry to the company.
Are you happy with how the rating agency AM Best performs? Because, I mean, if you look at AMI's rating at the moment, you wouldn't expect it would need government to back it up to the tune of $500 million.
Yeah, there's a... As we'll explain further later in the day, we were approached on the 9th of March, prompted by the fact that the board was going to be meeting with the rating agency within a few days, and we supplied a letter of support to AMI to take to their discussions with the ratings agency, I think on the 12th or 13th of March. That letter of support enabled a discussion where they were downgraded to a couple of notches. Now, without that letter of support, it may have been a different situation.
This creates a unlevel playing field in that here's one insurance company which has effectively government guarantee now. I mean, does that skew the field in terms of the other insurance companies? Are we going to have to provide this guarantee?
We certainly wouldn't be looking to provide it for anyone else, and in this case we would hope that it's not activated because the company has been able to find other solutions. It's not a situation we go into. Well, we've gone into this situation very reluctantly, and that's one of the reasons. But the fact is that if we didn't offer support, we would have thousands of homeowners in Christchurch who'd be left in the lurch with no effective insurance and a severely disrupted rebuild effort. Now, if it weren't for the unique combination of circumstances that arise here, we would not be looking to support this company.
So, can you read us from how large a capital sum is required in order to put the thing back on its feet?
Well, we've subscribed for $500 million of uncalled capital, and that number is intended to be to provide them a strong enough platform to go to the market as a going concern, that is, with a reasonable credit rating with the licensing under the new prudential supervision regime and find some commercial solutions. But the top priority is that it provides sufficient support for the company that claimants can know that their claims will be paid.
Well, is anybody be interested in even investing the thing which has to have this level of government support?
Well, that's going to be tested. We need to keep in mind here that it's got 400,000 other policyholders who aren't caught up in the Christchurch Airport and the brand. That may have some value, but that will be tested in the market, and this package is designed to give them the time and the market a sense that the company has been stabilised to see whether there is value there.
And is it $500 million worth of claims, potentially $1 billion worth of claims over and above reinsurance money and reserves, then the $500 million that you're talking about now is only going to be half of that?
Well, we're trying to deal with a situation of real uncertainty where the company is still trying to get some firm estimates of where its firm knowledge about the extent to which its claimants are affected. You know, are they concentrated in East Christchurch, for instance? There's been some speculation that their claimants are concentrated in that part of the city, which would mean that they may have more than their fair share. We simply don't know. And as I said, the estimates we've seen cover a huge range, anywhere from zero through to a billion of excess claims.
So, what is the upper limit of the government's liability if claims were to, the shortfall was to be towards the upper limit, towards $1 billion?
Well, the upper limit of the liability will depend entirely on how many claims there are and the cost of those claims. So the liability is determined by the claimants, by the policy holders, the homeowners in Christchurch. That's who will determine.
So are you prepared to put more than $500 million in if that's required?
Look, there shouldn't be any uncertainty about the intent of this package. The intent of it is to ensure that all claims can be met.
So,
and at the moment, we can't be certain what that cost is.
So if in fact that upper limit of $1 billion or that upper estimate of $1 billion in shortfall on the claims then was to eventuate, it's likely the government would have to find that amount of money.
Yes, that's possible.
So we could be exposed to up to $1 billion?
Well, the estimates we have are anywhere from zero exposure to $1 billion. Those are the estimates that we've been given. Now, over the next few months, as more information becomes available, we'll be able to get a firmer grip on it. The second thing is that whatever equity the Crown puts in, as of today, there is the possibility of recovery of some of that through some or all of it, through potentially the sale of the business, bearing in mind that outside of Christchurch, this company has another 400,000 policyholders who are paying premiums every month, every year, and this company has been profitable in the past.
What is the wider implication? $500 million is not a cap. You are flexible in a sense that if the call was up to $1 billion, the government hypothetically would go there.
Yeah, well, look, the intent of the package is to give certainty that all the claims that are made in Christchurch, but also in the rest of the country, will be met. And over the next couple of months, we'll get a clearer idea of whether that's going to be, whether those claims can be met entirely by the resources of the company. And this is a company that's got around $600 million of reinsurance and $350 million worth of cash. So they've got close to $1 billion available to them to meet claims. We've yet to see whether there'll be more claims than $1 billion.
So why have you said $500 million today in all your press kit here, when really you know that there could be $1 billion shortfall and that you're prepared to go as far as $1 billion?
Oh, because it's uncertain as to whether it's going to be zero or $1 billion. And we wanted to get an arrangement in place which would give them sufficient equity to be able to continue business as usual. So there's no question of their ability to meet claims probably for the next couple of years, and to give them the opportunity to go to the market and take the time to find a commercial solution, which ideally would take the government out, put someone else's capital in, and then taxpayers wouldn't face any loss at all. So I must stress the uncertainty about two things here. One is the scale of claims, and the second is what value others in the market may see in the company.
So will you have to put this as a contingent liability on the books? I mean, you're up for a billion on your books now?
Well, the accountants will have to work out, as they've had to before, just what provision, what potential loss there is. And an investment by the Crown isn't a loss, it's an investment by the Crown. But there may be potential losses associated with it. We're running out of time in the construction of the budget to be able to put in a provision that is based on strong information. Mm-hmm. But within 2 or 3 months, we should have a clearer idea, and then you will see those provisions made through the monthly accounts as has been happening in South Canterbury Finance.
But that's just an accounting issue, isn't it? It would be a loss, because if you paid out $1 billion and you put $1 million into it, you'd end up with a company that paid all its claims and wasn't worth anything, or was worth very little.
Yeah, I think that the challenge here is just estimating it in the face of uncertainty. AMI will take a while to find out what claims it's going to get. It's then got, there'll be other issues come into it, such as the extent of reinsurance and reinsurance for future claims, a testing on the market about what value there might be in the company. So even though this issue's been under discussion for getting up to 4 weeks, there is really no more certainty than we've been able to give you today about what it would actually cost the taxpayer, if anything. So we're just giving you the best estimates we've been given in the face of very significant uncertainty.
What do you say to someone who's going to go down to the DHA AMI office today and sign up for a new insurance package on their house, contents, or car? Can they be confident they'll be paid out?
Yes, they can be. That's the intent of the package.
You're effectively taking on liability for the risk of AMI's insurance business outside of Christchurch as well. What's the size of that? What's their typical claims payout in a year where we don't have these kinds of disasters?
Oh, look, it'd be best to go to the company to get the detail of that information. I mean, we've been... The package enables them to continue business as usual. They have put aside money to meet ongoing claims. My understanding is that it's roughly 100 to 200 million of claims would be business as usual. So the discussion about what their shortfall in resources or uncertainty about resources does allow for maintaining the ongoing business and the business as usual claims, as well as trying to cover the Christchurch claims.
So you're liable for every you're liable for every AMI policy holder, no matter where in New Zealand they live, no matter what event should perform.
Yes, that is the case. If the Crown takes ownership. At the moment, the Crown has got a facility there for $500 million, which may or may not be called on. It provides certainty rather than cash. The company continues to be responsible for the operations of the company, responsible for its viability, responsible for meeting claims. We are effectively underwriting, though, their ongoing operation. I mean, the message for claimants around the country is that they can be certain their claims will be met.
So as of today, if I was going to go and write an insurance policy or take insurance with a company, there's only one that's got a government guarantee, one that I can be assured is backed up by the government, and I'll get paid out, and that's AMI.
Look, well, individual Kiwis will make up their own mind about what they're going to do. This is not an ideal situation. The government has not been keen to get involved in the insurance market. There's only two reasons we are in here. One is we cannot leave Christchurch homeowners in the lurch when there's tens of thousands of them whose insurance might have been at risk. and secondly, we can't afford the disruption to the Christchurch rebuild, which would occur if this company got into significant financial difficulty. We've seen from other company meltdowns we've dealt with that you end up dealing with complicated issues that take a long time. So the prospect, for instance, of having a third of the residential residences in and homeowners in Christchurch not knowing whether their claim would be met for a period of 2 or 3 years would paralyse the Christchurch recovery effort. We can't afford that. New Zealand can't afford that.
Isn't it inevitable that you are going to become the owner of this business in a very short space of time, because the trigger point we talked about earlier is dollar, and given the exposure outside of Christchurch as well, and then you're going to become the owner of an insurance company?
That is quite possible. What we put together a package to give ourselves the best chance, give the company the best chance of trading through and continuing business as usual, and to give ourselves the best chance of minimal cost to the taxpayer. And over the next few months, that will get tested.
Would you want to be a long-term owner of an insurance company?
No.
Until you want to flick it in time.
We would want to be fulfil our objectives, which are to give policyholders certainty and to ensure that the rebuild of Christchurch isn't disrupted and get out of the business.
What will you do if other insurance companies say, hey, there's not a level playing field here, we'd like some backing and support as well?
Look, they would need to understand that if they come near the government, they face a high risk of losing control of their company very quickly. With other companies, because the government extracts a high price for the support, in this case a $15 million payment up front, plus the option to take control at any time. And that is not a situation that any viable business would want to get itself into. A number of the other companies have better opportunities to raise capital because they're listed companies or have large parent owners, and we wouldn't expect to be hearing from them. Look, that's a matter for the credit rating agencies. I think we've got to keep this in perspective. We've got a government spend of $70 billion. We've got current debt of $50 billion. We've got a range for Christchurch earthquake direct costs of $5 to $10 billion. And this is potentially another half to a billion cost. So in that context, it's something we can handle.
Does it make you
want to
rethink $2 million on the locker?
It's much more important than the $2 million on the locker.
Exactly.
Does that affect your potential return to a budget surplus in 2015-16?
We want to deliver in the budget a credible track back to surplus. The likelihood is that there wouldn't be a call on the government's capital for a couple of years. There will have to be some provisioning. Look, it's another item that is significant, is a bit more of a headwind, but we must focus on getting that track back to surplus, and it's not going to knock us off track.
What confidence do you have in the reserve bank rules? Because under those new rules, this company was meant to have enough and money to meet out claims, and you've ended up having to potentially take over the company on two big events.
Well, the Reserve Bank regime has been tested before it's even in place. So the legislation was passed in September. This and other insurance companies had until early next year to actually pass all the tests. So it's become a bit of a hypothetical about whether they would have or wouldn't have. Once we get this locked down and get the government supervision in place with the director and advisors and so on, of course we'll be having a look at the regulatory regime. But the regulatory regime is brand new, and in fact I don't think any companies have been licensed under it. They'll have to they'll have to create an interim license for AMI.
Are you happy with how the AMI board of directors, CEOs and all that have handled the situation? Have they been? Do you think they've been open and upfront with you from when they had to be or when they should have been?
Well, look, all I can say is they approached the government when they became uncertain about their longer-term solvency. So in that sense, it was a responsible thing to do, but as directors, that's what they're obliged to do. If they can't can't pass a solvency test, they can't continue trading. They had the extra pressure of going to a ratings agency within a matter of days, under an obligation to inform the rating agency about the uncertainty. So we've acted to take away that uncertainty.
In that letter of support that you gave them, because they went to that meeting with Best, did you effectively commit financially to support them?
Oh, no, we didn't. It was what I describe as a very light-handed indication of support. But it was, in our view, required at the time to prevent what could have been a sudden and dramatic downgrade of the company, setting off a series of events that could have quite quickly led to insolvency or liquidation and a severely disrupted insurance market just out of the blue. So no, it didn't come at us.
And with the depletion of the SUC's coffers and now the likelihood that the government is to become essentially the owner and the backer of our second largest general insurer, how vulnerable does that leave the government's finances to further natural disasters?
Well, the EQC is in reasonable shape. Even after paying the excess for the two earthquakes, we still have several billion dollars in the bank if we have to go back to it. So the government has been in the business of land insurance, which is what the EQC does, and we don't have any plans to get out of that business, despite the fact that there's been big calls on the EQC funds. But we have no plans to expose the taxpayer to the ongoing business of general insurance. We are stepping in here in unique circumstances with the intention of supporting Christchurch homeowners, stabilising the Christchurch rebuild, and getting out of this business if we possibly can. I think that the events of recent years show just how important it is that the government does understand and minimise its liabilities, because they can end up being real costs to the taxpayer.
And it doesn't make you rethink the need for a levy?
No, it hasn't. As I explained before, in the context of a range of $5 to $10 billion costs for the earthquake, this is another potentially somewhere between $0 and $1 billion perhaps. We aren't changing our approach. Thank you.
Oh, you think you were going to say AMI wasn't sure where the concentration of the policy holders were in Christchurch. Surely that can't be the case.
Well, you would need to check with them. I'm just reporting some of the variables that everyone's trying to work with in calculating what claims AMI might have to meet. So you'd be best to address that to the company. Over the next couple of months, we'll get to know much better how the flow of claims is likely to occur. Thank you.